ready to go. Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, automotive shop equipment, camping and sporting equipment auction featuring an automotive lift, Snap-on tools, toolboxes, engine hoists, camping supplies, a canoe, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Nuggets number two seed. Next up, it's going to be the Lakers, the Pelicans. But I want to at least touch on what happened against San Antonio. 17-point lead on Friday night. Number one seed hanging in the balance. Peyton Watson said after this loss, here's a quote. I feel like we were going to win this game no matter what. There was no possible way we could lose this game. Huge blow. Talked about it all last year. We have one of the best home courts in the league. That's futile now. Not really. I mean, they're going to probably get the first two rounds at home, and there's no guarantee that Oklahoma City is going to advance.
Yeah. It was a real cleansing moment for him to say that at a very emotional time. And good for him. I thought it was it didn't soften the blow for me, because I was very interested in that game. I figured if you get that one, Memphis was going to be exactly what Memphis was. I mean, just a mail in.
It was a close game early.
Yeah.
That game against Memphis was close early. Yeah. It's not like the Nuggets, you know, pulled away right off the hop.
Nope, they didn't. But, you know, I mean, they eventually took care of their business. And here we are now. And we're doing our due diligence, talking about how they got here and wondering, does it have any kind of lingering effect? And I don't know the answer to that. I do know this, that as long as the Nuggets are healthy, I feel pretty good about their chances going in. I think they have the best starting five. I think they've had the best starting five. It's a starting five that has won a championship, that has won 16 of 20 games in the playoffs. They're 15-5 over their last 20 games. They've got a lot of really good internal momentum, historical momentum, and a lot of cachet. I hope that it equates on the floor with whomever they end up getting. But as I said in hour number one, I think I would prefer to play the Pelicans over the Lakers. That's just my own personal preference. And I know the number of wins straight that the Nuggets have over the Lakers.
I think the Lakers, and you're going to hear this a lot, people are going to say the Lakers don't want to play the Nuggets because they have a better matchup against Oklahoma City, a team they beat in two or three games. But the truth is, if you're a competitor like LeBron James, like Anthony Davis, no, you want the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Matchups be damned.
Yeah.
They want the Nuggets after what happened in the regular season last year, after what happened in the playoffs last year, after what was said at the rally. And that, again, that was Vic. That was not Michael Malone. And then you had what happened in the opener and the rest of the games that they played. The Nuggets have owned them. I think that LeBron James and Anthony Davis have zero interest in losing this game against the Pelicans. They want the Nuggets again.
I think
so,
too.
If you're a competitor,
right,
that's who you want.
And that becomes a very compelling opening round match, even with the lopsidedness of the rivalry and how it's gone over the last couple of years. Because I don't think anyone... Look, it's easy to be irritated with the Lakers because of all the attention that they get from national media, but that's not the Lakers' fault. The Lakers are still a capable group. They've played good basketball down the season stretch. They've got LeBron. They've got Anthony Davis. They've got some guys that can still play. And I know that there's going to be a lot of guys around this market probably talking about, oh, we want the Lakers. The Lakers, be careful what you ask for. They're still a capable team.
Who do you think the Nuggets want? Who do you think the players want, and who do you think Malone wants? Because I think there might be a difference.
I think players think that they want to play the Lakers.
Right.
I think that Michael Malone is probably... I think Michael Malone might, in a truth serum moment, want to play the Pelicans.
No, I think it's the complete opposite.
The other way around?
I'll tell you why. You play the Lakers, you're going to be focused every single game.
Yeah.
Because it's the Lakers. And with the Pelicans, you might have that off night.
I suppose.
Where you see what we saw against San Antonio. Play the Lakers in every game is going to have a lot of eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it's going to be. It's not going to be the late game. It's going to be a game that is shown in prime time.
Right.
If you are Michael Malone, you want the hardest matchup each time. So you can say to your players, don't treat this game like San Antonio. Even though you've beaten the Lakers pretty good, I want them focused for every single game. You throw New Orleans out there, a team that is not ready for prime time yet, you might have a San Antonio game.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to have a San Antonio series. It means you have a San Antonio potential type of game.
I think the only reason that I would, and I'm not even pushing back on it, because I think you are absolutely right. I think that the Pelicans will be an easier out.
I do too.
That's just my feeling. I don't see the Pelicans as a team that can probably beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series. And I'm not even saying that I think that the Lakers can, but I think they're more capable of it. And you've got guys that have done it at a high level. You've got guys that have done it and that can play. I mean, there's no denying that. LeBron's not the same LeBron of 15 years ago, but LeBron is still one of the 10 best players in the NBA.
Statistically, he's as good as he's ever been.
Right. And I know that Nikola Jokic has had a lot of success with Anthony Davis, but don't sleep on that dude, man. Don't put it in the take it for granted pile. This team has got some pride and they can play a little bit.
The Lakers have motivation. Granted, it's the playoffs. You always have motivation mm-hmm. in the playoffs. The Lakers have a lot of motivation to play 48 minutes per game mm-hmm. because of what has happened in the past.
No question.
Yes, it'd be fun for Denver Nuggets fans to be able to say, we knocked out the Lakers again. But now is their chance to redeem themselves. They weren't able to do it in the opener
mm-hmm.
after all that talk by LA in the offseason. We know what was said at the rally, but they were not able to back it up. Now in a leveraged situation, a playoff series, now they're getting another crack at redeeming themselves.
And I don't want to be that guy that's giving the Lakers too much credit just because it's in the playoffs. I'm just saying you got to be respectful of a team like that. I'm not saying you have to be fearful.
No, they will
but
be
you got to be respectful.
They will be respectful because of the name on the front of the jersey as much as the name on the back of the jersey.
I agree with that.
Because it is a historically great franchise and just seeing the name Lakers on the front makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Yeah, it does. But let's not forget, the Lakers had to play pretty good basketball down the season stretch to get into what? The 7 hole? What are they, the 7th or the...
It was the same thing last
right?
year. It was the same thing yeah. last year, though, for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a series that... either series is a series that the Nuggets should win. Neither one of them... more than 6 games, I think New Orleans is probably the easier out than the Lakers.
Actually, the more that I think about it, I'd rather it be the Pelicans and then the Lakers as the 8th seed.
Okay.
If I had my choice, because I think the Lakers have the best chance to beat Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Better than Golden State.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Golden State's a factor.
I don't think so either.
I just don't think they're a factor. And Alex asked the question, which series are we the most interested in outside of the Nuggets and whomever? Lakers-Oklahoma City would be a very interesting 1-8 matchup. Very interesting. Because Oklahoma City against anyone at this point is going to be interesting to see how they react.
If it's the Lakers against Oklahoma City, and then you have Minnesota against the Suns, and whoever Golden State is playing, that Nuggets game, I'm telling you, if they could show it at 3 o'clock in the morning, they will.
What are they? Oh, yeah, the NBA defending champions. Right. Put them on at one.
It's not a sexy matchup because I don't think...
You're right.
I don't think the NBA... Let me rephrase that. I don't think that television executives still, to this day, look at the Nuggets as a sexy team.
I would agree with that. I don't think they
are. I mean, you have Durant, LeBron, and Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Are more people going to watch those three guys or Nikola Jokic? We know of those three, who's the better, or of those four, who's the better player. But again, he's not. Jokic, for the majority of NBA fans, is not must-watch television. Those other three guys are. And it's all about television ratings.
Yeah.
And none of them will likely beat out Caitlin Clark, who, by the way, was fantastic on Saturday Night
Wasn't
Live.
She? The dynamic between she and Michael Che was good, too.
Yeah.
It was a really good bit, played well. Congrats for both of them. I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it.
I'll tell you who the... when I look at Oklahoma City, they've got a lot of young talent. And I've been trying to think of a way to draw a comparison for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the best I've come up with. I know you're not a big Star Wars fan, but you know enough about it. Alex, you like Star Wars. Is that correct?
I like it. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan, but...
But you understand the story and all that stuff.
Yep.
When you look at Star Wars, whether it is Luke Skywalker, whether it is Anakin Skywalker, no matter who it is, a Jedi gets stronger as a Jedi gets older.
Okay.
Right now, I look at Oklahoma City as a Padawan, meaning a Jedi in training. They have not reached the height of their powers yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, while I don't think the Lakers would beat them necessarily in a 7-game series, they're not powerful yet. They're powerful because they are Jedi, but they are not powerful enough where they can wipe out an entire room yet. But that's coming, and it's going to be coming fast.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think the best of Oklahoma City is in front of them.
And depending on what happens with ownership with the Minnesota Timberwolves, this might be their last hurrah. Already, because of their ownership situation, in which their owner, who's worth billions, doesn't like to spend a lot of money, and now the owners in waiting to be the majority owners, they want to slash payroll. And oh, by the way, just for fun, Tim Connelly has an out after this year.
Yeah.
I don't think he will leave, but if they say to him, you got to start slashing things, I'm not so sure he's going to be dying to stay.
What's his, because he's got an equity deal too, right?
He does.
Excuse me.
But I don't know how that's worked in. Meaning if he walks out the door, does he lose all of his equity? It's kind of like with a Fortune 500 company, you get vested in stock year after year, but you have to be there a certain amount of years to collect all of it.
Get it. Yep. Well.
So if that equity matures in 5 years and you're only there 2.5 years, in some cases, you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be there the full term. Mm-hmm. Coming up after the break, we're going to revisit something that we talked about at the beginning of the season and even before the season began. Where is the Nuggets bench going to be heading into the playoffs? Will they have enough playing time for Michael Malone to say, these are my top three guys? That's next. Open my mouth, the gems falling out, make you lose control. Don't let
the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, there's an automotive equipment, camping, and sporting equipment auction featuring an automotive lift, Snap-on tools, toolboxes, a canoe, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com. /MHS. In the meantime, not too early to start thinking about lunch or dinner. My suggestion, go to the best barbecue spot in town. That is Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. And honestly, it's not just the best barbecue spot in town. It's one of the best restaurants because the menu is so creative. When you go to barbecue spots, it's usually the same thing. Sides of mac and cheese, you got some collard greens, got some ribs, got some brisket, yada, yada, yada. There, Dave is so creative because he had a past life. They have a smoked meatloaf, which has a balsamic mushroom glaze. Tremendous. A wild salmon Reuben. You're not going to find that type of stuff anywhere else. It's creative. It's delicious. They have homemade desserts, and their sides are really good. I mean, again, you go to a barbecue place, they're going to scoop some macaroni and cheese into a dish. There, they take extra special care. What do I mean by that? They look at the details. They, you know, put panko breadcrumbs on the top, so it is crispy on top and moist and delicious with that mac and cheese after you take that full bite. So good. Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. You can find them off of 36th and Pecos. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by High Country Performance 4x4 in Englewood, Colorado's premier one-stop shop for anything and everything 4x4s and trucks. High Country Performance 4x4, building cool sh- since 1980. Go to hcp4x4.com.
At the beginning of the season, we talked about the bench is going to have to play a key role in the Nuggets making another run. Bunch of young guys, Christian Brown going into his second year at that point. Peyton Watson really didn't play much last year, so really you can make the case this is his first year. Reggie Jackson, who barely played in the playoffs last year, we knew he was going to get significant playing time. When you look at the bench, how good do you feel about the bench now, heading into the playoffs on Saturday, whether it's against the Lakers or the Pelicans?
I'm at a pretty good level. I wouldn't say overwhelming, but I'd say I'm in a B. I'd say I'm in a 80%.
Is it better capacity than it was last year? Or is it the same or a hair not as good? I don't want to say worse because that's not a fair assessment.
I would say at the same time last year, I would probably feel slightly better about it. Just slightly better about it. Bruce Brown was unbelievable in the postseason, and he was great all of last year. But in the postseason, he made his money. But we hadn't seen that yet. Christian Brown is interesting. On one hand, in the month of April, he's averaging 9.5 points on 47% shooting. He's shooting well from three-point range, 44%. 4.5 rebounds and 3.5 assists a game. But when you break it down against teams that are playoff contenders or now in the playoffs, dating back to the middle of March, those numbers go down considerably. In 8 games against playoff opponents since March 15th, 6.1 points. He shot about the same percentage, about 3.1 rebounds and about 1.5 assists. So, yes, Christian Brown is doing things that make you, and of course he's spectacular in the, some of the things that he does are memorable, right? I mean, that stretch against Minnesota was unbelievable.
He only had 8 points.
Right.
But 4 of those
points. But when he had them.
Correct.
You're exactly right. That's absolutely key. So I'm close to being pretty much there with Christian Brown, and I'm pretty good with Peyton Watson, defensively especially, and I think that that's where they really need to utilize him the most. I wish Reggie Jackson was shooting the ball just a little bit better. That's all.
yesterday for Christian Brown, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals.
Phenomenal.
This was his final tune-up.
If you can bottle that, then, you know, we're drinking from that all postseason.
This was the phrase that I used. Who's going to pick up 26 minutes a game in the playoffs like Bruce Brown had last year in the month of April? And I understand injury to Jamal Murray.
Right.
He's averaged 27 minutes a game this month.
Right.
He's the guy.
And even before that, over 21 minutes a game in April. So it's been coming. And
you mean in March? March, he averaged 21.
I mean in March. Yeah. In March, excuse me. In April, it's 27 minutes. And it's been coming. I mean, you can see the trust factor.
This is what I like about Christian Brown. He's played in big games, and he tends to elevate his play in big games.
Yes.
I can't say that about Peyton Watson, because I don't know how many big games UCLA played in. And he didn't play there for a long time anyway.
Right.
Christian Brown is the type of guy that you want on your team in a big game.
No question.
Because he literally, like a Jamal Murray, certainly not the same level, he elevates his game in big games.
Yeah, I just want to see more production in. I want to make sure that what my eyes are telling me, they can tell me in games against Minnesota, Clippers. He was good against Cleveland, really good, and that's a playoff team. Phoenix. I want to see that from him. I trust him. Michael Malone trusts him. That's all I need to know. So off we go. Yeah, I think that largely those questions have been answered? And maybe not to a place of total confidence, but I think that you feel a lot better now than you did when the season started. I think you've gotten some clarity about where this bench is, and I think generally it's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that you're not going to get, I don't believe, from Christian Brown is, as an example, game 5 against Phoenix. I don't think you're going to get 25 points.
No.
Like you got from Bruce Brown.
Right.
You're going to get about anywhere between 8 to maybe 14 points a game, generally speaking, from Christian Brown in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That would come out to about maybe 10 points a game. And for Bruce Brown,
yeah, you'd take that right now if offered.
And Christian Brown can guard a couple of positions, although Bruce Brown, it felt like he can guard every position.
Right.
He was a terrific two-way player, and Christian Brown is developing into that.
I would agree with that. He's not quite there yet, but he is. But he's a very good option.
Outside of Jokic and Murray, who's the third most important player in this series for the Nuggets? Not series, playoff run.
I'm going to give it to MPJ because he's such an X factor. Yep. I mean, you know.
They need to find a way to have a third option.
Yep.
It can't just be Jokic and Murray.
And I would really, and Aaron Gordon is who he is, and thank God he is who he is, but you can't have MPJ disappearing. He's got to be a factor. At least, and he doesn't have to be a difference, but he's got to be a factor in these series. And he was a factor early in the playoffs last year. Wasn't as much of a factor late in the playoffs last year. But I think that anytime that you've got an instant offense kind of guy from three-point range, that's a very valuable tool to have. Really valuable tool to have. So I think that he would probably be my X factor in the three-hole, and then Aaron Gordon just being Aaron Gordon, because he's gotten to the point now where we know what we're getting from AG.
It's very simple for Michael Porter Jr. If he plays closer to the basket, and I do want him shooting threes, but if he plays closer to the basket, the Nuggets will be a better team.
Yeah. Because
that means he's moving his feet.
Well, and you're starting to see, every now and then you see a Michael Porter Jr. actually make a cut to the basket now.
Right.
Because I think he's seen it enough with Aaron Gordon to think, oh, this is a pretty easy way to get a couple of points.
So we feel good about the Nuggets heading into the playoffs.
I think so.
Now the question is, how do we feel about the Avs going into the playoffs? That's next. This is how we do it. Let's flip the crack in the old school bag.
voices telling me that I should get some sleep, because tomorrow might be good for something. Hold on, feeling like I'm headed for a breakdown, and I don't know why, but I'm not crazy, I'm just a little...
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, automotive shop equipment, camping and sporting equipment auction, featuring an automotive lift, Snap-on tools, toolboxes, camping supplies, a canoe, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
Okay, so we feel good about the Nuggets going into the playoffs. How do you feel about the Avalanche going into the playoffs after getting whitewashed 7-0 against the team they're going to be facing in the opening round, the Jets, and then blowing a 3-0 lead against Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're significantly more shaky. And it's frustrating because on one hand you have a 9-game stretch where they won every game and looked good doing it. You get Val back. You look like you're whole. You look like everything is coming together. And then all of a sudden, you go 3-7 down the stretch, and you're getting your butts kicked in the back end of that stretch.
I'm guessing McKinnon is steaming.
I can't imagine he's overly happy with things right
with
now.
With his
right?
personality, mm-hmm. There is steam coming out of the top of his head.
And they've got a few days here to find something with some work, I suppose. And then you play a game against Edmonton, which is basically meaningless, on Thursday, which means that you're probably going to be opening on Saturday or Sunday in Winnipeg. This is not the way you drew it up. And maybe there is a portion of Jared Bednar that feels like this team has another gear. He talked about it a little bit after the game yesterday, saying that, you know, wishing they could have been a little better defensively. But obviously after getting shut out 7-0, they wanted to put the steam on and score goals. And, okay, how'd that work out for you? Not very well. So... I don't know. I'm very interested in seeing what this team looks like, because that team 2 years ago was so good defensively that they could beat you that way first, not to mention all the guys that could score. This team is not as good defensively. I mean, I realize Georgiev has more wins than anybody, any goalkeeper in the NHL, but he's 25th in goals against average. For goalies who have played in at least 35 games.
He's over 3 a game. And he's trending in the wrong direction.
Right.
So what do you do? If you are Jared Bednar, on Thursday, are you starting Georgiev to potentially give him some confidence? And honestly, playing against Draisaitl and McDavid, that's not going to give you a lot of confidence. Okay. Or do you go with Anonen, see how he plays, and maybe he's your game one starter? Or... hey, we've ridden Georgiev all year. We go with him.
I think it's the latter. I think it's Georgiev, and you continue to ride him, because who the hell is going to play in this game?
Anonen's been actually
quite good. How serious is both Edmonton and the Avs going to be on Thursday?
But that's not even the point. The point is you get Anonen a tune-up.
Okay. All right.
Or do you give Georgiev potentially some confidence? Because if he gets run in that game, how in the world you start him, that'd be head-scratching. You are doing it strictly out of loyalty, not out of... you haven't earned that spot. You're getting it out of default because you've been the guy the whole year.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a conundrum right now. And this is the type of problem that they just shouldn't be having right now. This is the type of thing where they, you would have hoped at this point they would have had a little better understanding of what they've got between the pipes.
There's a great saying in sports. Would you rather get blown out or lose a close game? Which one's worse? Because when you look at the last two games, they got blown out by a team, by the way, they're playing in the playoffs, or giving up three goals in the third period when you had a 3-0 lead and then losing overtime. Which one stings more?
I don't know. You were playing for home ice advantage on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. That to me, that I mean, I
both are embarrassing both, in their own right.
They are. And you ended up taking Georgie out, what, in the first period, right?
Of the Winnipeg game,
yeah. Winnipeg game.
And that wasn't all on him.
No, it wasn't all on him.
He gave up some soft goals, but the defense wasn't particularly good in front of him either.
And all of this hasn't necessarily been on him. But
if, you know what?
But in combination, that's who they are.
Here's the thing, though. If you have Shesterkin from, what, a couple of years ago, if you have a top-notch goalie, he's not giving up four goals.
No.
Even if the defense isn't playing well in front of him.
I asked you earlier, is this the type of, are either one of these guys the type of guys right now that are going to just go win you a guy, win you a couple of games in the playoffs because they're just so damn hot? I don't see it.
Here's a phrase I love, and I'm not saying it's 100% accurate, but in some ways it is kind of, there's a hint of truth to it. Right now for Georgiev and the Avs defense, their relationship is built on trust and confidence. Georgiev has no trust in them, and the defense has no confidence in him.
Well, you're going into this playoffs as an underdog.
Yes.
Playoffs?
You are an underdog in this series.
You should be.
Right.
And Winnipeg is a team that just puts you in a sleeper hold, kind of like what Seattle does. But Winnipeg is much better, and by far.
And
they just squeeze you like a boa constrictor. They just squeeze you. Instead of, you know, going all Braveheart and chopping off your head, they're a boa constrictor that just slowly constricts around your neck.
Jared Bednar said something interesting about 2 weeks ago. He said, yeah, obviously, home ice is important to us. We're a good team at home, Winnipeg, Saturday notwithstanding. But we're not going to do it at the expense of our guys. But
all those guys are playing.
But my deal is this. Well, what about the expense of your team now? Because you don't have home ice. And yes, this is a better road team. And this is a team that's very capable of going on the road and winning. And I think that they will. I'm not saying this is dire, but you were in a position, where the top seed was there for the taking. It was there for you.
It, 2 weeks ago, it did not look like at all Winnipeg in a potential first round matchup was going to get home ice.
In any shape or fashion.
And then when you look at the last five games, four of them against playoff teams, all of them were ugly in their own right.
I would like to say that I'm cautiously optimistic, but I don't know if I'm that either.
Right.
I think Winnipeg is going to be the worst kind of team to play. It's a team that is imbued with well-earned confidence against an Avs team that they have owned all season long. Not just 7-0, but all season. They've beaten them fairly easily in all three games.
Right.
But we'll see. I don't know.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll discuss Michael Porter Jr.'s durability as he played in 81 of 82 this season, and what is one rule change that would make the NFL more exciting? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
We'll be right back.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, automotive shop equipment, camping and sporting equipment auction featuring an automotive lift, Snap-on tools, toolboxes, engine hoists, camping supplies, a canoe, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfields has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver. 5 years running. Or order online at ArgonautLiquor.com.
All righty, guys. Just in case you missed it, after undergoing 3 back surgeries in his career, Michael Porter Jr. played in 81 of the 82 regular season games this year. And interestingly enough, the game he missed in Sacramento was because he packed the wrong shoes. Porter said it was important to him to play in as many games as he could this season. Any thoughts on MPJ's durability and how much it has helped the team this year?
Well, I mean, he certainly has helped. I mean, I think his game has continued to grow. And that's always a help. But now we're into the postseason, and he needs to grow another level right now. He was good early last year in the playoffs, not as much of a factor. Can't afford to have him disappear for long periods of time in the postseason because he's a guy that can make the Nuggets that much better.
By the way, if you're going to make fun of Michael Porter Jr. for not playing, for packing the right shoes, remember he has a drop foot. He has to wear certain shoes.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's now, it was kind of a boneheaded move, packing the wrong shoes. I mean, yeah.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you just can't throw any pair of sneakers on him and he goes out there and plays.
Right.
But the fact that he has played 81 games is nothing short of remarkable. I cannot stress how painful it is, not painful, but how difficult it is to play with a drop foot.
He's playing in women's shoes too, right? Or a women's design. Is it an Esco shoe?
Brianna Stewart.
Brianna Stewart.
The Stewie
shoe. That's
twos,
right.
I think.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
All right, just in case you missed it, there has been a couple rule changes in the NFL this offseason, most notably the change on kickoffs and the elimination of the hip drop tackle. As for rule changes that could be made, what is one rule change that would make the NFL more exciting, in your opinion? I got a couple of ideas.
More exciting?
Yeah, rule change that would spice the game up.
For me, the greatest conundrum for me is always pass interference, but I don't know if they'll ever get that figured out. As far as making something more exciting,
I have it.
Go.
Like when you used to play with your friends and you only played like 5-on-5, the defensive linemen have to count to 3 Mississippi before
thank you
they are allowed to rush the pass.
In other words, Eric doesn't have one either.
I don't have one either. No. What do you got?
How about putting a GPS chip inside the football to automatically detect first downs and goal line situations?
I think that's actually just a good idea, period.
That's a fantastic idea.
It really is.
That would solve a lot and save a lot of time, I think.
I think I agree.
Put it on both tips of the football.
Yeah.
Well done. I like it.
What about eliminating forward progress?
Meaning what?
I guess where the guy's tackled is where they're going to be down at, even if he gets touched 5 yards up the field.
It's still a judgment call on progress and when you stop progress. Javonte Williams is a guy that lives on forward progress. So I think I like forward progress. I think it's a good thing. And I think that generally games are called well when forward progress is stopped. Every now and then, you know, you get one that you might argue about, but by and large, it seems to be a fairly well thought out process.
All right, just in case you missed it, in an appearance on the Deep Cut podcast, Tom Brady was asked whether he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of an injury, and Brady said, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. Brady did mention the New England Patriots and the Las Vegas Raiders as possible teams. I mean, with Bill Belichick not in the picture anymore, could the 46-year-old Brady give it one more shot, maybe in New England?
No.
Well, he's talking about ownership is why he couldn't play. That's the reason why. Because if he has an ownership stake in the Raiders, right, he can't play.
But even if he didn't have an ownership stake...
Does he have it currently?
I don't know if that where that stands, but go away.
I'm sure he could walk out there and play better than half the quarterbacks. With the shape that he keeps himself in,
probably so.
He could still play.
Got to have those broccoli smoothies.
Kale, yeah.
Kale and broccoli or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, this from last week, last one here. Stanford announced that head coach Tara Vanderveer is going to retire after 38 seasons with the team. Legendary career for Vanderveer with 3 championships, 13 Final Fours, 5-time coach of the year, and is the NCAA all-time wins leader. Where would you put Tara Vanderveer among the all-time great coaches in women's college basketball?
Right up there.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think...
Coach the Olympic team, too.
I mean, I think you got Geno and Pat Summitt. Dawn Staley is certainly in that group now, isn't she? I mean...
Tara Vanderveer's top 5.
She's got to be top 5.
Yeah.
Got to be top 5. And is a recognizable name in sports in general. Has done a lot for the profile of women's basketball, and is to be congratulated for that. And very extreme, and obviously an extremely good coach.
That was Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it right now, all kosher wines are on sale. They are 15% off. Go check them out off Colfax. Order online at argonautliquor.com or order on their app. That's going to do it for us. Guys, great job today, Brett and Alex. Same with you, Bruce. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make the best possible day you can.